Our first conversation today is about mental health care and the lack of people to deliver that care. It's such a problem in Oregon that 20 different leaders of mental health provider or advocacy organizations signed a letter to Governor Kate Brown asking her to declare a staffing crisis in behavioral health. That letter was delivered earlier this month. It was around that same time that we got word of a grant worth $2.2 million to one of the Rogue Valley's major mental health care providers, OnTrack, aimed at alleviating at least some of the staffing pressure. Summer Wolcott is the Executive Director of OnTrack and our guest on The Exchange. Summer, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So we got a statewide view, as I mentioned, of the staffing shortage on Monday from two of the signers to that letter to the governor. Give us a sketch of the situation in the area served by OnTrack, if you would.
Yes, we've been really struggling for a couple of years with a workforce shortage, and it's just become more and more significant and severe with the pandemic and all of the different factors that have led to people leaving the workforce or not joining the workforce. And so most of the Rogue Valley providers, specifically in addiction treatment, are facing, you know, reduced access to programs because of lack of staff. We've had to reduce our admissions to our residential treatment programs for mothers and fathers that are struggling with addiction, and it's all due to staffing shortages.
Can I guess that with the additional pressures that COVID provides on society, that perhaps there's a greater demand for addiction services with COVID?
We are definitely seeing high demand. We have, at any given point in time, about 100 people on the wait list trying to get into residential treatment. And if we're unable to serve those people in a timely manner due to staffing shortages, the situation just becomes worse and worse for them.
And, I mean, are we talking about the usual issues in the field in terms of keeping staff, low pay, high burnout, you know, things like that?
Definitely low pay, high burnout. There's also, you know, hesitancy to work in direct care, in programs where, you know, we're open for in-person services and have been the whole time because many of our clients don't have access to remote technology. And people are hesitant to work in an environment where they feel like they might be exposed. There's childcare issues that are impacting people because the daycare centers have closed. So there's a lot of different factors that have just been compounded by the pandemic.
All right. So both ends of the equation. You got greater demand, lower supply. And now talk about the grant. $2.2 million from whom?
It is a federal grant. And we're really excited about it. What it is designed to do is help us provide high-quality training to take somebody who has no experience all the way through to becoming a certified alcohol and drug counselor on-site through providing education, classroom trainings, high-quality clinical supervision for their experiential learning. We're really hoping that people who want to help, they have the right mindset, they're compassionate and want to learn and grow, but don't feel like they are at a point where they can go to, you know, all the way through college to get a master's degree to deliver services as a mental health counselor. We're able to help people that want to become addiction counselors or certified peer support specialists and eventually qualified mental health associates. All of those different certifications that don't require formal university degrees.
All right, so it's not quite like a community college package or something like that, but a bunch of training and a bunch of certification from the sounds of it.
Right, it's a combination of classroom education and then experiential learning, like an apprenticeship program that we will be able to provide and certify more drug and alcohol counselors and peer support specialists through the funding.
How many people does this allow you to train, and how long is the training?
It depends. Right now we're gearing up. Our first group is going to be a little bit smaller than hopefully our second cohort. We're going to try and do two cohorts a year. As one group finishes their education portion and moves into their apprenticeship, another group will start with the education. So there's a couple of different ways people could access this. If they were if they're a full-time OnTrack employee, they could go through the whole thing in about 18 months from zero experience to being a certified alcohol and drug counselor. The peer support specialist certification is a week-long training. So people from the outside that wanted to join that would be able to do that in a week. If somebody's working in another agency, then they could join our classroom trainings or just the apprenticeship. And so depending on how that all balances out, the numbers are hard to determine. But for the full program, we're hoping to complete about 15 people per year as certified alcohol and drug counselors.
And it is a four-year grant, is that right?
It is.
All right. So that would add, you know, if the math works out, 60 people, hopefully, by the end of that 4 years.
Hopefully. And that's just the people who do the full program. We're really excited to be able to offer the trainings to smaller providers and that have their own staff that need education and certification that could join just the trainings without necessarily working it on track so that other areas can also benefit from this program.
We're talking about a grant to OnTrack based in Medford to provide training for people getting into primarily drug and alcohol counseling, certification for that as well. A federal grant worth $2.2 million stretching over 4 years. Summer Walcott is here from OnTrack, the executive director, to talk about the situation with us. You are welcome to come in on the conversation as well with your questions and comments by phone at 800-838-3760, by email jx@jeffnet.org. So it's interesting, as you're just starting to say, it's not just OnTrack. I mean, you're able to provide training for whoever really needs people to be trained.
Yes. One of the things that we built into the grant was training for our trainers on delivering hybrid training so that people in frontier and rural parts of Oregon that work at small agencies, a lot of times they have a difficult time accessing the trainings that are required to help their staff become certified. And if they can join into our trainings through hybrid learning or in person, assuming that the pandemic winds down, they should be able to advance in other parts of Oregon as well and add more peers and certified drug and alcohol counselors to the workforce across the state.
What's a usual caseload like, Summer, for somebody who's involved in a drug and alcohol counseling, one-to-one? I mean, not group stuff, but just, I mean, what's a normal caseload for an optimum caseload? Let's put it that way. I suspect they exceed those on a regular basis.
Yes, optimum and usual are not...
not the same number.
Not the same number at this point. It really depends on the acuity and the location that you're in. So in our residential programs, the clients there receive much more individual counseling, and so the counselor stationed in residential might have a caseload of 5 to 10 clients. Mm-hmm. In outpatient, we look at it more around workload versus caseload. So they might have somewhere between 25 would be on a low end if they had a lot of clients that needed additional one-on-one support, or up to, you know, 50 or 60 if they have clients that don't need as much one-on-one contact.
Okay. But those are the optimums or the actuals?
Yes, probably those are the actuals.
Mm, okay. So does the grant pay for just the training and stuff like the salaries of the trainers, or does it actually follow the people as they emerge from training to their jobs? I mean, does it provide some salary support there?
It doesn't provide salary support. It was a little tricky to figure out how to fit the alcohol and drug training into the context of a grant that is typically designed for universities. What it does do to support the people who are in trainings, the people who are full participants in the program, is it pays for all of their certification and testing fees, all of the manuals that they will need as a professional, so the reference guides, curriculum, all of those things will be purchased for them as they're taking different classes. They will also have a stipend to pay for their time while they're in training instead of, you know, so it pays for the classes, their time while they're in training, and all of the materials that they'll need to have a professional library when they're done with their certification.
Wow, that's a pretty. So, I mean, could somebody potentially stop working in order to devote full time to training and be able to have enough money from the grant to live?
No, probably not. It's designed to because the certification program is typically something that you do while you're working. Mm-hmm. Most of you're paid for your hours while you're doing your experiential learning, your apprenticeship. You're an employee at whatever organization you're doing that. The classroom trainings, there's not enough of them to really equate to a full-time job. Mm-hmm. It's about 150 hours of classroom education that'll be spread out over 6 months. While people are in the program.
In our chat earlier this week, we were talking about some of the systemic issues and have broached that subject with you as well about the fact that this is a fairly low pay, high burnout kind of profession. Is there anything in this grant that addresses some of those systemic issues?
That's a tough one. There's really a lot of the systemic issues are systemic, and you know some of the things that we're building in to the grant is a lot of clinical supervision and support and mentorship, and access to an employee assistance program so that people who have their own issues that are coming up have supervision around how to deal with those as a professional, and hopefully build in the sort of self-care techniques that are necessary for longevity in the field.
We're talking to Summer Walcott here in the Jefferson Exchange, the executive director of OnTrack based in Medford, as we talk about a $2.2 million federal grant spread over 4 years to provide some training to get more people involved, primarily in alcohol and drug counseling in the region. You can join us at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So who is the appeal to? I mean, is there much in the way of recruiting for this field? Is there a particular kind of person you'd like to walk through the door and say, hey, I want to do this?
There's a lot of people out there that have been impacted by family members or their own struggle with addiction or mental health issues. And the hesitance, and they want to help, and they want to give back, and they want to support the community. But the hesitancy often comes in with looking at the, you know, 6 years of college that it takes to, in a traditional way, to become a qualified mental health professional. We're really hoping that the people who can't choose that path for whatever reason and have the right mindset will see this as an opportunity to still do what they want to do and give back and work for mission-driven agencies without having to go through the expense of a university education and the time. This is a much faster path for people who want to help and don't have the formal training.
Well, yeah, 18 months at a minimum versus 6 years is a huge difference. It's a quarter of the time. You mentioned family members and people who've been through it themselves. Does peer-to-peer counseling appear to be the most effective delivery of services in alcohol and substance use disorder treatment?
Really common for people who are in recovery to become certified alcohol and drug counselors because it saved their life and they want to give back, and it's also not required. A lot of our really good counselors don't have a personal experience with their own addiction, but they have the right mindset and compassion to be just as effective. So it really depends on the person and the circumstances. We have both, and both are very valuable to the treatment process and to our team.
Summer, would you say that attitudes towards addiction have changed a bit in the last decade or two, given the rise of the opioid epidemic and the fact that so many more people who might have once looked down upon people got addicted themselves?
I think it is changing, but there is still a lot of stigma attached to both mental health issues and substance use disorders and addictions. And it's, you know, the more people talk about their own recovery and the more people are out there saying, you know, that there's opportunities and hope for people who want to work on their own recovery, I think the more those stigma is starting to break down.
And there's, in addition to the constellation of issues we've talked about, I mean, lack of funding, a lot of burnout, not much pay, and then COVID on top of all that, you've also got Oregon passing Measure 110 and the decriminalization of drugs. Does that present some potential issues down the road as well?
Oh, Measure 110.
Hot topic of the business, huh?
It's great to decriminalize substance use disorders and help people seek treatment. The next step is that we need a robust continuum of care to provide that actual treatment. And we need the workforce to be able to do that. So it's hopefully could move things in the right direction, but what we need is a robust system of care and the people to do the work. And that's a missing piece right now.
Just a couple, the half a minute left here. I want to ask about the OnPace program that you're starting up at OnTrack. Is that part of this or is that a separate thing?
OnPace is the name of the federal grant training program. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so got a lot to look forward to and a lot of work ahead, though, I would think.
Yes, definitely a lot of work, and we are hopeful.
All right. So, again, we got a $2.2 million grant coming to OnTrack Rogue Valley to help get people trained to become certified alcohol and drug counselors. And as we've already discussed earlier this week, there's a great need for such counselors. Summer Walcott is the executive director of OnTrack. Congratulations on landing the grant, and best of luck with implementing it.
Thank you.
All right. Good to have you here on the Jefferson Exchange.